jamendo.com. From Tampa, Florida, I'm Nell Abram. Thanks for listening.
This is WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Free Speech Radio News airs every Friday at 5 on WEFT Community Radio, followed by Smile Politely Radio, coming up next. Stay with us after that for Hip Hop Express at 6, Blues Live at 8, and The Bachelor Pad at 10.
First you look so strong, then you fade away. The sun will blind my eyes, I love you anyway. Thirsty for your smile, I want you for.
You are listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local culture, music, food and drink, arts, opinions, and much, much more. I am your co-host, Rebecca, and I'm joined today by a new co-host, Josh Hartke. Hi, Josh.
Hi there.
And to get us started, you heard Ride playing Vapor Trail. And Ride is, of course, one of the headliners at Pygmalion Festival happening this weekend. You can catch Ride at 9:15 at the High Dive this day. So go ahead and check that out. And today on the show, we are lucky to be chatting with Lachelle Bright, the new program director of the Independent Media Center in Urbana. Hi, Lachelle.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Good. So we're going to talk about the Independent Media Center, which is, of course, this organization that does so many things in the community and is celebrating its 15th anniversary. It's a couple weeks with a series of events. So to get us started, could you tell us a little bit about the history of the Independent Media Center, how it came to occupy its current position in Champaign-Urbana?
Sure. I know that it began, as many independent media centers began, as a response to some protests in 1999 against the World Trade Organization and its anti-globalization movement. And so, of course, it doesn't really surprise me that there were people in Urbana-Champaign already engaged in that movement. And so independent media centers popped up all over the place within a year or so. And the one was developed here. And they were in a small space on Main Street in Urbana for, I believe, the first 5 years. And now, about 10 years ago, they moved into the post office. So post offices in the U.S. were huge operations at one point, 30,000 square foot space. But now the post office is our tenant. And they rent a little corner of it, and the rest of it is space for working groups, event space. We have some lease space upstairs. Lots of grassroots civil rights and social justice work happens there, and just tons of volunteers.
Could you maybe describe a little bit about what this space looks like at the Independent Media Center? Because the first time I went in the space, I mean, it's a wonderful space, and it has this feel to it that is very different than what I expected for some reason when mm-hmm. I heard the name Independent Media Center.
Well, I think the first level where the two event spaces are, the stage space and then the sunroom with all the windows and the light, it feels fairly large and cavernous. Mm-hmm. However, I've been to many events there where it has had very different feels. So one space moves into the other, but you can also separate it out. So I've been to art gallery exhibits in like the sunroom where I didn't even realize the stage space was there. And then I've been to concerts in the stage room where the sunroom was walled off. And so it felt a lot more intimate and it was packed with people. Downstairs in the basement where the work groups happen, that's a little more of a labyrinth, I think. But I believe it was Chris Evans and possibly some other artists early on devised a way to try to make it easier. And so there's kind of like a built-in mural map showing you how to get to the family room, how to get to Books to Prisoners, how to get to the Bike Project and Makerspace and those other spaces downstairs. So yeah, it's a cool space. People walk in and they start asking themselves, well, what can I do? Mm. How can I transform this for my particular event? It takes a little creativity though.
Well, and having that large space is really useful because I've been to events there where you have a whole lot of people. That's,
yes.
That's one neat thing about the IMC is it brings a lot of different people and different groups together.
Yeah.
So having that extra space is really useful for that.
Yeah, both of those spaces on the first floor can hold $299, so legally.
So when you were describing the basement space in the IMC, you were kind of giving us a sense of the kinds of groups that the IMC currently works with and the kind of products that the IMC is a platform and a resource for in the community. Could you speak in a little bit more detail about what kinds of programs the IMC does and also its connections to some of these other groups that you mentioned that do their work through what the IMC does?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I guess I'll start by going down the stairs and immediately there's Makerspace. Lovely DIY group. They have 3D printers and sewing machines, and if you want to make it, build it, invent it, you can do it there. You can tinker. And I love the philosophy of fixing things and not having to purchase something. Once upon a time, we fixed our toasters. We didn't throw it out and buy a new toaster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's environmentally conscious. They actually have the Heartland Maker Fest coming up next week. We also have Books to Prisoners, which is one of the most well-run organizations I've ever seen in my life. I went to one of their meetings recently. And inmates can request books, and people send in books all the time. They fulfill requests. They have this lovely system with the different prisons that they send to. They're always in need of dictionaries. And then books that are left over are then tried, they try to sell them on Amazon where they can make a profit there that helps the organization run. And then after that, if there's still stuff on the shelves, there's a book sale, and then they collaborate with WRFU where it'll be a book and kind of CD sale as well. So WRFU is Radio for Your Band, 104.5. And if you're interested in learning how to do radio, you can do a training and start your own show. It's a variety of programming on there now, from CU Immigration with Tom Garza to Birth Parents Rights with a host called Pika. And then I think the other arm of the radio is The Public Eye, our independent newspaper, which has 10 issues a year, 3,000 copies each. So that's about 30,000 copies a year of alternate journalism going out into the world. And they meet on a weekly basis, and they anyone could submit a story or a poem, and there's a pretty wide distribution there. I can't imagine anyone has gone anywhere in Urbana or Champaign without seeing the little kiosk. We also have the Bike Project, which is another well-run organization. It's kind of fun to walk in and show that space off sometimes. But they're not going to fix your bike for you. They're not going to build you a bike. They're going to show you how to do it. Again, very in line with DIY and being environmentally conscious and environmentally friendly. They even have some fun stuff that happens there. On Fridays, you can meet up at a particular time. I can't remember exactly when that is off the top of my head. And they'll do a cycle through the city and teach you how to do signals and how to be safe and just have fun and hang out with some cool new people. But I've seen, and I'm not really certain it's just the Bike Project, it's probably everything, but schools in the community will have field trips for kids. And so every now and then I'll be sitting in the office and I'll hear, from all these kids in the basement, and that's always a lovely sound. So, goodness, I don't want to miss anybody. We have CUCPJ, CU Citizens for Peace and Justice, that meet there. James Kilgore has a new book out. He has a book signing at the YMCA or the YWCA coming up soon. We hope to have one at the IMC soon. And from there, actually from all of these different groups, there are subgroups. So even with CUCPJ, there's Women in the Jails, or there's a sewing group that was born out of Makerspace. Then there's a School for Designing a Society, which doesn't necessarily do a whole lot of programming at the IMC anymore. They have a new space for that. However, they will be doing some evening performance for us at the anniversary, and they're still very much tied to the IMC. I don't think
that's a lot, though.
Yes.
Yeah, what you said is a lot.
Gamut of issues there.
So I know that the IMC also provides a community space to a lot of different organizations and events. Could you describe a little bit about the kinds of events that tend to host, hosted at the IMC?
I will talk about some things that are coming up here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So, Stephen Salida wrote a book. And there's going to be a book talk at the IMC in October. It's kind of an alternate space to the campus where community members can come and join over sometimes, I guess, politically charged issues. But then we also have a lovely young student who's going to do a workshop in a couple of weeks around, what does she call it? It's kind of an encouraging workshop in spite of whatever the in spite ofs are, in spite of your job, in spite of school, in spite of whatever. And she really is into helping people see the positive sides of themselves. So that's a workshop that she just developed, and she's going to use the IMC for that. The Women's Resources Center on campus, Domestic Violence Awareness Month is coming up, and they are going to be hosting their Peace Jam at the IMC. And then hopefully, we're going to start having Tai Chi classes on Saturday mornings again. So there's a variety of things that people from the community can actually use the space to do.
It's where culture and activism comes together.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about you, Latrell. You said that you used to work at the university, and
yes.
You were kind of talking to us before the show a little bit about the slight change in cultures you've noticed in going over to IMC.
Yes.
Give us a little bit of that.
Well, for me, it feels like they're really kind of two different cities here. There's the campus, and then there's Urbana-Champaign. And even though Urbana and Champaign, I think, have very different flavors, it still feels like they're more connected sometimes than the campus is. And so when I was on campus, I coordinated the Social Issues Theater program, and I was there for 6 years. And moving out into the community, into this new job, I'm meeting people that I've heard of but never laid eyes on before, never actually had a conversation with before. I know people on campus, but I didn't necessarily know people in community. So when I started this job, I was telling you beforehand that it just felt like I had moved to a different city, into a new world. And I think that's something that's being worked on from lots of different angles, not just the IMC, but Krannert and Jankers and all of that too.
And in some ways, IMC is dealing with that by bringing people who are in the community with people who work at the university, because I know a lot of the people who are very active at IMC are also involved at the university. So.
Yes.
Bringing our community together is really a lot of what IMC is about, around, you know, culture and art, and especially around social injustice issues, which is very important. And it's really great what you guys do over there.
Yeah, I remember when I applied for the job, I was looking for the right word to end with my cover letter, and I said something about I would love to work with this multifaceted organization. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely what it is. There's a lot going on.
I love what you said too about how the IMC is a space where it provides kind of an alternate space for the university. And I know it's particularly been the case during the past year with the large number of academic boycotts affecting the ability of, you know, faculty and other academics to have access to talks. In a lot of cases, I know the IMC has been a space where people could still come and host their events, even if they were boycotting the university proper. So could you talk a little bit? So the celebration of all of this wonderful work that the IMC does is taking place October 9th through 11th.
Yes.
And so could you talk a little bit about what events are going to be in store?
Absolutely. We're starting, so our, kind of like our, the way we talk about ourselves is media plus art plus technology for social change. And so we're kind of including all of that in there. We're going to start with some art making workshops on Friday evening, starting around 5:30. We also have a panel that we've asked several people to speak on. Cope Cumston is going to moderate What is Needed Now for a Community Media Arts Center in CU. Then we're going to have an evening performance, Buckle for Designing Society. Not really certain what they're going to do yet, but I've heard a lot of really wonderful stuff about their work. Saturday, we're going to start pretty early. So from 9 to noon, we're going to do work parties. So it's work, and but it's a party.
That sounds like the best thing ever.
Is, you know, the board is a working board. It's really a volunteer-run organization with the blood, sweat, and tears and hours of free time that people put in to make this organization run. And so in the spirit of that, we're going to have three tracks. One is, I think Danielle is calling this Tech-tastic, because I didn't write that. And it's Chris Ritzo is working on bottom lining RFU streaming for radio. We're also going to have greening up our space, the space in between the mall and the IMC. There's a project underway to make that a green space, something like the beer garden that's happening down on Main Street as well by CoLab. We're going to have lunch together. We are also going to have an IMC open house where the working groups will be in their spaces and be able to talk to people who want to come in and find out more about how do I get training on WRFU, when are the open hours for makerspace or whatever. We're also going to have kind of a discussion about the future of the IMC and independent media. And after that, we're going to do the wine and cheese fundraiser section where Chris Evans is going to help us make a giving tree. So all the different projects that we have going on that people can possibly donate to. And then and the end of the night, we're hoping that Exposed, Amy Ali's group, will provide us some entertainment, possibly some music and maybe some spoken word. And then Sunday morning, we're going to end by breaking bread together by having breakfast and talking the future of the INC and how we can design the next 15 years before we circle up and say goodbye. And it's my understanding that people who have volunteered with the IMC don't even live here anymore, are flying in. And so it's going to be a reunion. It's going to be a party. And it's going to be nice to put some faces to names that I've heard that have been influential throughout its history.
When you were mentioning the cast of characters that's been involved in decision-making at the IMC and is going to be setting a future course during this anniversary weekend, it reminded me of one of the things I wanted to ask, which is how are decisions made at the IMC? As you've described, it's an organization that has so many different arms. You know, how are decisions made in terms of what's important to the mission of the organization, what kinds of projects to align the organization with?
Okay, well, the board is the main decision-making body, but all board meetings are open to members. So if members want to show up and chime in, they are more than welcome. It's by consensus, unless we just can't get there, which happens. My second day of work was my first board meeting, and it lasted 3 hours, and people were passionate and really making strong, valid, arguments for whatever they were arguing for. And then at the end of the night, everybody went home and they hugged and said, hey, I'll meet you for coffee. It was great. It's a horizontal structure. And that's something that's very attractive to me after coming from a very vertical structure at the university.
So I'd be curious to know in our last few minutes, what is your vision for what you think the IMC can do or should do or is sort of aiming to do in these next few years? It sounds like there's going to be discussions in terms of kind of, setting a new direction for the organization in terms of its relationship to independent media and in terms of what's happening in the community. And I'd be curious to know your take on what the IMC should do next.
Well, I think one of my first charges is really to focus on what is now and making certain everyone knows, because there's still people who have lived here their whole lives who've never stepped into the IMC or don't know what it is or that it exists. But also, I think, even I lived here for 6 years without knowing that I could do programming there. So really trying to find a way to make certain that the community knows that this is where you can have that reading group. This is where you can host that meeting. This is where you can have that dance class. This is where you can host your event. Do some kind of creative, quirky programming even. Ultimately, I think because the space is so large and filling it with activity is a great endeavor. One of the reasons and one of the charges for this position is grant writing. And we are focused on two relatively large grants right now. If we get them, that's great. If we don't, then we do have a backup plan where we're still going to do the work. But part of that is engaging young people in not just focusing on young people, but having their voices in the room, in the conversation. So, ideas about maybe possibly having a young person on the board or young people on the board, some after-school programming where the IMC can be kind of a third space aside from home and school, where there might be some programming, but it's also a place where they can just be and there's stuff that they can do. And so Makerspace, Bike Project, Books to Prisoners, they have daytime hours in the afternoon sometimes. So maybe there's something where that kind of programming can overlap. We don't want to program them too much. They just left school.
Yeah.
They've programmed all day. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be, I think, a freer space with options for activity to happen. I envision some kind of an internship program with students on campus who might want to develop some programming and do some theater, journalism, music workshops with kids after school. I think there's something very powerful with when the age difference isn't so great. I think the peer-to-peer education projects on campus are really fabulous. And there's something about not having adults in the room all the time and being supervised or even, dare I say, policed. So that's definitely on the horizon. So I would say making certain that people know that the space is their space and it's available to them, but also trying to create this third space for young people as we also work with the city of Urbana to make certain that downtown Urbana is a place where young people mm-hmm. feel welcome and comfortable.
I love that idea of third space. That's a really good thing because kids need that something away from home, but that's not constructive as school, but it has something for them to learn and a little bit more fear. And to get to your other point, folks who are in this community who want to be activists and maybe don't know about IMC, it's a great place to come. Whatever your issue is, I know I've been involved with groups, involved with the Muhammad Aquifer there.
Yes.
And several other things, local justice, things like that. If people want to get more involved in their community, IMC is a great asset for that. How do they come to you? How do they get more involved? What do they need to do?
Send me an email. And right now you can send that email to latrell.bright@ucimc.org. You can give me a call or please stop by. I love showing off the space. And I think seeing the space is what gets the creative juices flowing, where people start thinking, oh, wow, whoa, this is what I can do. Or, what can I do? Just kind of asking the question. So please call Latrell Bright.
Well, thank you so much, Latrell, for joining us on the show. And good luck with the anniversary events taking place
thank
the
you.
9th through 11th.
We hope to see you there.
Yeah. All right. You've been listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local arts, culture, food and drink, music, opinion, and much, much more. And don't forget that Pygmalion is taking place this weekend. To take us out. Yeah. Yeah. It's happening. It's real. to take us out, we're going to listen to another group that's going to be playing on Sunday. This is Cathedral. Cathedrals playing Harlem at 5:50 at iDive. Have a good weekend.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
You come to pass on myself, on my password. Show.